Oh, the first Sunday in Lent. This story, this old, old story. It becomes so, in speaking with a friend of mine this week, it became so clear how modern this temptation is, right? What Jesus is doing is he's in the wilderness, he's fasted, he had just gotten out of the River Jordan, he had been baptized. God had said to him, this is my son, the beloved. That's your identity. That's what Jesus has heard. And so he steps out of the water and right into the wilderness. And there, after 40 days of fasting, Satan comes to him with this modern temptation. You know, I can get you there faster and more conveniently. There's no question of Satan knowing that this is who this Jesus is, the anointed one, that Jesus is the Son of God. No question about that. He's not saying, prove yourself to be this. He's saying, since you're this, do that. Right? And the first temptation is, if you are the Son of God, and we assume that you are, this should be easy for you. Turn these stones into bread. I mean, you haven't eaten in 40 days. Echoing in this is I think also, he's in the wilderness, right? And echoing in this is like, you know, Moses could do it. 40 years in the wilderness, what? There was manna, right? Now, Jesus has a couple of options here. One of the options is to say, as he does in the Gospel of John, it was not Moses who gave our fathers manna in the wilderness, it was God. Which very much, it's just the same, it keeps the theme. Because what he says is, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, every word that comes from the mouth of God, we're going to get to that in a minute, but by bread alone. So the very first, isn't it interesting, the Genesis text that Linda read, right? What is it about? It's about food, right? And this temptation is about food. The very first thing, like, the fruit. God said you couldn't eat this fruit? What? What's the matter? It's beautiful, isn't it? And it'll make you wise. It'll make you like God. Well, Alexander Schmemann, who's an Orthodox theologian, explains it this way. He says, everything in creation was created for our good to be used in communion with God. Everything. Food, the beauty of the world, breath itself, everything was made to be in communion with God. That's what we're for. And everything that God gave us was for that. And this, and when Adam, what Adam does when he takes this fruit and eats it is the first step towards looking at food for its own sake. Creation for its own sake. Apart from God. In fact, Adam and Eve are actually trying to be independent of God in this eating of the fruit, right? So that they can be like God, but not with God. And then our whole life becomes this thing of alienation from God. Our whole life, which was supposed to be our whole life, is sacramental life. Everything touches God. Everything connects with God. Everything brings us into communion with God. And that goes away in that sort of prototypical sin of our first parents. That's the explanation. And so now, here's Jesus. And the Satan is saying, "Oh, make yourself some bread. Go ahead, it's okay." Apart from God, and Jesus's answer to that is, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is going to make bread, right? It's not that making bread is wrong. Jesus is going to multiply the loaves, right, for the people. And how is he going to do it? He's not going to do it by just saying, "Oh, give me that, I'll do it." No, he takes the bread, looks up into heaven, and blesses the bread. Huh? That's the difference. But right here in the wilderness, that's not what's going on. Satan is trying to just get him to do it for his own sake.
And then the second temptation comes.
Satan kind of says, oh, you like scripture, do you? Well, how about this? I'll take you to the pinnacle of the temple, and you throw yourself down because it is written right there in lovely Psalm 91. The angels will take charge over you so that you do not cast your foot against a stone. They'll catch you. And look, what a great miracle that will be for people. They'll all see. They'll all know who you are. Perfect, right? It's quick. It's easy. No problem. And Jesus' answer is, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Now,
you should not put the Lord your God to the test, and we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Both of those are really interesting, because look what Jesus is doing. He is saying that, you know, there are certain words of God that come to us that are actually override other words. Satan
is quoting scripture, right? And if every scripture is the same at any given moment, then why not agree with Satan? But Jesus is like, no. The words that are in the scriptures are indeed words from God. But not every word in scripture is for you now, in this moment.
I had a conversation with my family one time during COVID and all this stuff, and we were actually just exploring all of this. We were saying, parts of my family were saying, yeah, God is saying, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. And other parts of the family were going, yeah, but Jesus also said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Like, aren't we putting the Lord our God to the test when we are going out during COVID? And others are saying, but Jesus says, don't be afraid. All right, how do we balance this? Right? This text this morning, I think Jesus is saying, look, the word that comes from the mouth of God is what has been given to you to listen to in a given time and in a given situation. We can't take a word from God and make a general moral rule or a general theological rule that covers you for all time and in all places. And what that brings us to is, again, this thing about communion with God. Our communion with God is to be listening, to hearkening, to always being available to the Word of God. How many of you ever get promptings from God? You ever get one? Do you sometimes think, nah? Huh?
Not right now.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No. Really? That's what you want me to do now? Yeah. Right? I mean, no. It happens to me all the time. And half the time, I do exactly this. Nah, I'm just making that up. Yeah? Yeah, okay. But I don't think that's true. I think that God is constantly trying to communicate with us, right? In promptings, in dreams, and in all kinds of different ways. And we have become so good at ignoring it that we just start, we just made that up. Nah, no. And so many times, have you ever done this? You get a prompting. You don't follow it. And then the next thing that happens is like, oh, I should have done that. That ever happened to you? It happens to me. And it's like, I missed that one. I love the prayer of the day, which says, when we fall, you pick us up, right? And that's sort of how I feel about that. I missed that one, but God will pick me up. Jesus will pick me up. I'll get another one. So it isn't
what I'm trying to say here is that when Jesus is doing is saying in this moment right here, this text from Deuteronomy that says we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God, or this thing that says don't test the Lord your God, those are the scriptures that I'm working on right this minute in the face of this temptation. Right? Because there are times when God is perfectly happy to be tested. You ever heard of Gideon and the fleece? Do you remember that story? It's one of the old Bible stories, right? Gideon is one of the judges of Israel, and he gets the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and those Midianites and the Amalekites, they've crossed the Jordan River and they're coming into Israel and they're attacking, and there's a lot of them. They're like locusts. And Gideon is called by God to defend Israel. And Gideon says, really? I'm not so sure about that. Look, I got this piece of fleece. I'm going to put it out here in the outside. God, if you want me to do this, I want the dew to fall only on the fleece and not in the ground around it. Right? God says, I can do that. Poof. Dew on the fleece, but not on the ground. He brings out a whole bowl full of dew out of the fleece, sets it out in the sun to dry, and he says, I got one more test for you. This time I'm going to put the fleece out, and I want the dew to fall everywhere around the fleece, but not on the fleece. Uh-huh. How about that one? And God says, what, am I God or am I God? I can do that. Sure. Dew falls all around the fleece. But not on the fleece. And then Gideon knows, and Gideon accepts the call to which he has been called. But there it is. He's testing God. What a strange thing, isn't it? So what we are called to do in all of this is, I think, and especially now that we're in Lent, is to begin to listen really carefully. Listen carefully first to those things that we have held on to as absolutely, like, this is the way it is for all time and all place, and maybe begin to have a little bit lighter hold on that. And also to start to listen to that voice that comes to us, that living voice. That is what that's what we think about when we think about relationship. It's conversation with God. It's listening for God. Can I do this? Should I do this? Is this what you're asking me to do? Really? Okay, let's try it. Right? To enter in. That sort of sense of communion with God, that is really kind of what Jesus is trying to get us again to understand, that our whole life is communion with God. And if you think this is just kind of churchy talk, I just have to tell you, I've told you this before, but more people have told me since. So people who go to the Schramm's house to have supper, I have heard it again and again. It's like, they'll come to me, people who are not churched, people who are not really religious at all, but they'll tell me, did you know that the Schramms say grace every meal? Before every meal? And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I actually know a lot of people who do that. And they say, you do? And they said, well, yeah, that's kind of what we do. And there's something that they're just drawn to. Like, this? You do that? Really? But I've been puzzled by that. I mean, what a weird thing. But I don't think it's weird at all. I actually think what it is people actually recognizing what it's like to be truly human. Like the very fundamental thing of saying grace over a meal. To recognize that it is not the food that gives us life. It is God who gives us life. It's not the food. And that's why fasting during Lent became such a tradition. Because we've forgotten that it isn't food that gives us life. And so fast. stay away from it for a while and become more aware that it is God who gives us life. And that food is, yeah, food is something that God has given us, but make sure that when we eat this food, when we do, we are doing it in thanksgiving to God. Jesus is also going to, this is the very foundation of, I think, the return to a sense of the sacramental life that we lead. It isn't just that we experience the sacraments here in bread and wine and in water. It's that all the whole world is a sacrament. Our whole life is a sacrament. Our experience in life are sacramental. Connecting with God. Communing with God. Jesus is going to make bread. Jesus is also going to go to the temple. He's not going to cast himself down from the temple. He's going to get cast out from the temple and hung up on a cross outside of those city walls. He's going to become vulnerable. He's going to suffer. He's not going to take the convenient way of demonstrating himself to be the Messiah with drama. And finally, he is going to become the Lord of Lords and the King of the Nations. But it's not going to be in the way that Satan offers. He's not going to rule over. He's going to bring the nations to God. That's what it is. It's not going to be fast. It's not going to be convenient. There will be suffering on the way. But he rejects the modern temptation to do it quick and to do it conveniently. He's going to hear, listen, be in communion with God and do everything that God speaks him to do. And during this time of Lent, we are invited to do the same, to listen just a little more deeply, to be aware of God's voice a little more alertly. And finally, to not have to demonstrate it, like Satan's trying to get Jesus to do, demonstrate his power or his relationship or his belovedness. Instead of trying to demonstrate it, I think in Lent the invitation is to relax into it. Relax into belovedness. Yeah, we are beloved. Receive that. Relax about it. Enjoy it. It does not have to be demonstrated. You're free of that. Relax. Listen. Pay attention. I dare say, have some fun listening to what God might be saying. That's our Lenten journey.